Dente Rigamortis. I'm Review Cultist.
I'm Mikey. The E stands for evil.
And I'm the gamer in yellow.
And we're here to discuss those internet stories, most creepy and most pasta, and be critically silly doing it. And tonight we have A Curious Mind is a Terrible Curse. So, a little bit of backdrop here. We were originally going to cover a story called Gurgles and Bugman.
Because how could you not?
Yeah, it was on that that definitive creepypasta iceberg from a couple of weeks ago that we mentioned. And I was like, yeah, no, we gotta do this. Like it's called Gurgles and Bugman. I've never heard of it, and it sounds and like it's on that list, so it's like I wanna check it out. And then I discovered, like, right before I was about to like send this to the guys, like the first sentence is like of Gurgles and Bugman is like, after my last experience, blah, blah, blah. And the my last experience part is a hyperlink to a part one on Reddit No Sleep from the author Won't Think Straight. And apparently this is just they've done a series of stories based on like past experiences with weird shit. With weird and spooky shit that they've experienced, and then now they're posting it on Reddit. So I figured, like, I mean, we can't just start on the second part. We've done that before. We've made that mistake before. So I was able to course correct and have us do the part one of Won't Think Straight's series of stories that they've posted on the Reddit No Sleep. So that is why we are covering A Curious Mind is a Terrible Curse. And like I just said, like three times, it's written by Won't Think Straight on Reddit No Sleep, which is where you can find it. I believe you may be able to also find it, or at least Gurgles and Bugman and stuff like that, on creepypasta.wiki. So, but without further ado, let's go into the initial recommendations. I'm going to recommend this one, actually.
I am also going to recommend this one.
Ditto. I'll also recommend it.
Wow. Interesting. I wasn't sure how you guys were going to react to this one. I never do. It's like stuff that I like, you guys don't care for. And then like stuff that I really get invested in, you guys are like, eh. So it's like, it's really hard for me to tell sometimes.
Yeah, fair.
Well, now that we've given our initial recommendations, let's continue on with the rundown. Featuring Nair.
Our favorite.
Yeah, Nair Ator, because we never get a name. So Nair is posting this as they are looking for help figuring out what exactly they've encountered. You see, for their whole life, they have been terribly curious, wanting to believe and see something actually supernatural. But every time something has come up, they have been able to eventually rationalize it in a way that is mundane. In a word, taking her gerbs. Like, before the story even starts, taking her gerbs.
Oh, yeah, pretty much.
By mundanifying all their stories and such.
We often do.
Yes. However, that has changed recently when they went on a vacation to hike around and camp in Vietnam with friends? I'll address that more as the show goes on. I guess they had campmates.
at least two
on this trip. So while they're at a stop off along a coastal hiking trail one night, nature calls and Nair goes to the campsite's outdoor bathroom stalls. But not before seeing a strange old man constantly looking away from him, no matter where directionally he was to Nair. That wasn't the strangest thing about this old man, though. Nair realized that the man had no shadow as he stood in the spotlight of the singular lamppost by the stalls. As Nair is figuring out what's going on. The strange man appears right in front of the stall door where Nair is currently doing his business, and is confirmed to absolutely have no shadow. Freaking out a little bit, worried, like freaking out what the heck this is all about and why this person is like right at their door and such. Nair decides to kick open the door, only to find that the man has teleported behind him in the stall at this point. Nair freaks out at that and runs back to the sleeping area, but does not sleep at all that night. His friends, whom he's been on this trip with, are concerned, but Nair shrugs it off till the last day of the trip, when he can't help himself and decides to ask the guide about the encounter. He just has to know what the heck was that was all about. The guide becomes quite serious and asks if Nair saw the man's face, for if he did, he will likely die shortly after. Apparently it's a folk tale or superstitious kind of thing in those parts. Nair can't recall if he actually saw the face of the man, and now is fearful something bad is going to happen to him. All because he was too damn curious. As he says, a curious mind is a terrible curse. Finn. So yeah, that was a curious mind is a terrible curse, in a nutshell. And I suppose we'll move on to Everyone Tolerates the Grammar Inquisitions. At this point, I've got a number of them. So I'll start with this one here. Mm-hmm. The childhood wonder and possibilities dissolves quickly into the reality of serious jobs and mortgages. I feel like it should be the childhood wonder and possibilities dissolve.
Yeah.
Not dissolves, because the possibilities is already like plural, so you don't need that the S at the end of dissolve. And my next one here. It was without question the oldest house in the street, which was how we could afford to live in it. I think here it actually should be it was without question the oldest house on the street, because generally when you're talking about like a house or like it's like, oh yeah, it's that the third house on the block, like on the street or on the block kind of thing, not in the street. In the street would be like it's actually like in the middle of the street is usually like
you
could
potentially hit it with your car driving down the street.
Exactly, yeah. It's like, oh no, yeah, those kids are in the street.
Yeah, the kids on the street, that also means sounds like they're on the street, to be honest.
Yes, but it also, when you say like the kids are on the street or the kids on the street, that could also refer to them being like kids of the street, like on the sidewalk. Yeah, like they're, yeah. It's amazing the difference between like in and on sometimes. Mm-hmm. But my next one here. There was some constant the scratching noises above my bedroom at night, but it turned out to be just pigeons roosting in the ceiling. So I feel like removing the between constant and scratching, so it's like there was some mm-hmm. constant scratching noises above my bedroom at night. Mm-hmm. I also would actually clean up this sentence a little bit more and like reconfigure it a bit to be like this. There had been a constant scratching noise above my bedroom.
I mean, yeah, either works.
Yeah. I just like, as I was like, raised, like, I guess maybe this might be better, but like also giving the simpler action of just like removing that the. The next thing I have here. As I seem to always survive each attack, though I was just going crazy. So I think it's like, I thought I was just going crazy. They're just yes. missing the though is just missing a T to make it thought. So the next one I have. But I can found no explanation for what's happening or what's happened to me recently. It's got to be, but I can find no explanation.
But it's past tense, so it should be past.
No, but he's talking now in the present tense about a past event. It actually works. It's yeah, I know.
Give me a hard time, Mr.
Tense. Mr. Tense Talk.
Yeah.
Mr. Tense Talkman.
Mm-hmm.
I'll move on to the next one I have. He was there, that dreaded white-haired and bony body, standing where I was mere seconds ago. So I feel like it should actually have like old man in there. So it's like he was there, that dreaded white-haired and bony-bodied old man standing there.
I mean, who else would it be?
I know, but just like the way it says, like, that dreaded white-haired and bony body. It's like bony body what? Like, I guess it does make sense. It's just like it was weird that like I was expecting it to like those to be descriptions. And then get the subject of those descriptions still in the sentence. And then it just didn't give me that.
It is, though. It starts with he. He was there. That dreaded, white-haired, bony body standing there.
Yeah, and I guess, like, reading it aloud, like, I did kind of get that. But I still think that it should have, like, old man. Old man!
It might actually feel better if the last comma is an ellipses, because it'd be like, that dreaded white bot. That dreaded... white-haired, bony body, than ellipses, standing where I was a few seconds ago. Just because it gives more of a pause to it.
Yeah.
Which might also work better, I don't know.
Maybe. But I'll move on to the next thing I have. Actually, this is the second last one I have. When morning finally broke, my campmates lazily woke and wondering why I looked like death itself. So campmates should probably be a compound word. So like the two words are combined. Also campmates really should bring them up a little bit sooner than now. Cause like there's a whole, like, I gotta think of my actual thoughts that I'm going to probably reference where it's like, this is like the first time we actually find out that, like, cause he mentions that we were on a vacation, but like at no point does he describe that, like, who's with him also. Like, so it could have been like a friend, like a girlfriend, a boyfriend, like whatever, like cousin or whatever. But it wasn't until like this part, at the end of the story, that we find out that he has campmates that are concerned about him.
I mean, granted, they didn't have any connection to the story at all.
No,
so we didn't have to know about them?
We don't, but we also do, because at the beginning he starts talking we, like, on the trip and stuff like that, and it's like, who the fuck is we? Are you doing like the royal we, or do you have a friend that you're just not, you haven't mentioned at all?
Yeah, I'm not fighting you on this, because I like literally have a note saying the same thing where it's like, well, we don't have a clear visual of him like exploring like Vietnam and stuff, because all we know is him and someone else. 1, 2, 3, 40. I don't know.
Yeah, we have no idea exactly. Like, and like, we don't even like get a like. I'm not looking for a lot. I just want like some sentences that kind of like clarify that, like, because then he references that there was a tour guide. I was like, okay, we didn't get any information about this trip.
Yeah, as soon as he dropped the first we, I imagined it would be at least a tour guide.
Exactly, yeah.
Like, at least him and a tour guide going through, but yeah, there might be more from the sounds of it. There is.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's all I was kind of saying about that. It's like, this is so, like adding some, like, extra bits at the beginning a little sooner might help with the clarity about, like, when suddenly there's campmates, and, oh, that explains why he was talking with the royal we earlier. It wasn't actually the royal we, it was him and some friends.
Yeah, and the campmates is at, like, the end of the story.
Exactly.
The entire length of the story to actually get somewhat of a visual. Like, better late than never, I guess, but yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Also, with regards to the sentence that I quoted, lazily woke up and were wondering why I looked like death itself. Because in the actual story, it says lazily woke and wondering why I looked like death itself. So I feel like it needed that were in between and wondering.
Mm-hmm.
And then my last quote and comment for grammar acquisition. When I finished my story, when I finished my story, he only looked gravely at me, gravely, and asked just one question. They mostly come at night, mostly.
Does it actually repeat gravely?
Yeah, it says, yeah. He only looked gravely at me, gravely, and asked. So, like, I spent a while, like, trying to look at the sentence. I was like, how do I fix this? It's like, he only looked at me gravely, or he only looked gravely at me. And I was like thinking like dot 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 gravely and asked, but I was like, no, just get rid of that gravely. You don't need that.
Yeah.
So it's like, yeah, it should only be he looked gravely at me and asked. That's all you need. You just need that. Yeah.
So we're complicating it for no reason.
Yeah, exactly. But that is my grammar acquisition. So Mikey, the E stands for evil.
All right, let's see here. I have a conjunction junction.
Ooh. And next stop, conjunction junction. Doot, doot.
It was without question the oldest house in the street, which was how we could afford to live in it. But it was always uneventful. It was then I noticed the window above the bed was slightly open. It was nothing more than the wind whispering through the cracks. But when it happened again and again, night after night, I started to panic. So everything paranormal that I've ever experienced was ultimately very rational. But I can found no explanation for what's happened to me recently. It was miles and miles of mostly untouched wilderness, broken by the occasional village, and some of the best pristine beaches in the world. It was in one particular stretch that we spent a full day soaking in the sun and surf, the worries of the world 1,000 miles away. It was to this glorious view of the heavens that I awoke around 3 a.m., feeling the less glorious call of nature urging me to the nearest toilet. It was a humid night with the sound of insects chirping their nightly symphony. It was in a clearing with male toilets lined along one side of a 30-foot-wide crude concrete floor facing another row of female toilets. It was definitely odd, but certainly far from threatening. It was then I made the fatal mistake of looking at the stall I had just escaped from. It's been almost 2 months since that fateful encounter. It's a blur that still haunts me, and I'm not sure I want to know. Finn.
Wow. So it was pretty much a rundown, like a paraphrasing of the story. But also, like, the way I the make it critically silly for me. I like to think that, like, everything that he experienced, like, including, like, the vast jungles and beaches and so that, was all still in the house from the beginning. Because no mentioned it, like, suddenly, like, we transitioned to, like, suddenly, like, he's out, like, hiking in, like, the beaches and stuff like that. And, like, he has to go to the washroom. So, like, the washrooms of this house, it's very liminal space. It's very dream core. So he goes into the house and then, like, oh, I need to use the bathroom. It's like, and then he has to, like, walk through, like, trek through, like, through miles and miles of jungle to find the bathroom, but it's like it's just toilet stalls out in the in a wilderness in quotes within the house. So,
or to make it even more mundane, the start of it where it's just describing his bedroom and like the window that keeps getting blown open by the wind every night and it's driving him insane. That's literally just where he's staying in the jungle.
Yeah, that's also you could Monday.
But there's no indoor plumbing, so he had to get out of the house to go to the bathroom outside. Yeah. He has like an RV.
Or it's like a cottage, or like when you're vacationing and stuff of that. And like, it's like some of those like cabins that have like an outhouse outside.
Mm-hmm. And then like the truly horrible thing was just experiencing that form of using the bathroom.
Oh, God. That's like
what terrified him the entire time.
Yeah.
Yeah. And his fatal mistake was looking at the stall that he had just escaped from. So he left one large poop behind. And it's been almost 2 months since that fateful encounter.
It's a blur
that still haunts me.
Yeah, it was this amorphous form in the bath in the toilet.
Yeah.
God. He was too close to the bathroom, or too close to the toilet.
But no, that didn't happen.
Yeah,
just happens in our silly story. That happens when Mikey grabs all the sentences throughout the story that start with words that they probably shouldn't. Like, it's ends or buts, because there's always better words to use.
Indeed. All right, gamer, do we have a grammar in yellow?
Yeah, I got one left. My heart suddenly froze when I could distinctly hear this sound of snoring coming from my bed. I could hear the sound growing louder and louder. I stared at my bed, but saw nothing more. Mustering what little courage I had, I yelled out, "Hello, who is there?" You're welcome. Yeah. So, like, it says yelled, but like, he obviously didn't yell it.
No, yeah.
Sorry if I jump scared anyone out there. Sorry, not sorry. But no. So yeah, he didn't yell it. He called it out, really, realistically.
Yeah.
I mean, if he wants to yell and wake up his whole house, that's fine. But there should be an exclamation point there.
Yeah. Yeah. I think call out would be better, because that was like, hello, what's going on? Like, you're not like shouting it like you did.
But yeah, that's all I got left.
Okay. Well, let's move on to actual thoughts then. Mm-hmm. I'm going to start with this one here. As day made way to twilight, we feasted on some amazing seafood we had caught earlier. We? Do you have a sparkly cold vampire hanging out with you that you don't want to name? Because, you know, it said twilight in there. In the quote.
Man, you're really stretching to get the Twilight reference in here.
I was, yes.
Like, how is he getting vampires out of this?
But seriously though, back to what I said earlier, it's like, yeah, no, there definitely needs to be some like mention of like his campmates and maybe the tour guide early on. Like, can't stress that enough for me. Like that, because it was really bugging me through the story.
Yeah. It bugged me the entire time too, honestly. Like, that is one of the few reasons that I was like considering going to a partial, but I'm like,
yeah,
I still liked it though, so it's fine.
Yeah, that honestly the same. Why are we on the same? We're on the same wavelength somehow.
I don't know. It's
again, it only took 5 years, but we're slowly getting synchronicity. Might have been 8 years. I don't know how long. I don't know how long you've been on the show.
I don't know.
So the next thing I have here, he didn't seem to notice me, so I let him be and made my way to the nearest male stall. As I closed the door, I could still see him in my line of sight, though I was now 90 degrees from where I first saw him. He still had his back to me again. So for me, this is like, well, that's a red flag, like as I was reading the story, but I mean, like, the old man could just be like trying to like awkwardly and politely like mind his own business. So just like, he's actually just like moving just so like he doesn't like, maybe because he's really shy or something like that. Like, there could be a mundane explanation for this old man at this point. That said, I still like this sort of setup for like a creepy encounter in a horror story, just because like it is weird.
Yeah.
But it's definitely something that could be, that's grounded in reality. That's like, but still also kind of like a creepy situation, or just like a weird, like the primer for a weird situation.
Mm-hmm.
But then we get this part. Though the old man was standing near a bright light, he didn't cast a shadow. I mean, that sometimes happens, right? Like if you're directly under a bright streetlight, you won't cast a really the shadow will be extremely like negligible. Though I suppose if there's positively no shadow under him, then perhaps that's ghostly activity. And then we get this.
I'm gonna let you finish, but he straight up says, like, because he mentions that there's no shadow, and he noticed that in the second that he saw him.
Yeah,
I'm assuming the light wasn't directly over top of him.
That's
it was
true,
to the
yeah.
side, so it would give a noticeable shadow if there was one. Except, unfortunately, Nair's graphic settings were set too low, so he turned shadows off to improve his FPS.
Ah, yes, yeah, yeah.
That's the mundane, quote unquote.
Yeah, exactly. Answer. Yeah, he's actually in a VR game.
Yeah.
Tours of Vietnam.
I wouldn't be surprised if that was a VR game. Please continue.
Probably, yeah. And then we get like full on confirmation because like the possibility it could have been an optical illusion vanished when I suddenly saw the shadowless feet inches away through the gaps under the toilet door. Okay, yeah, no, definitely supernatural there. Like, if there's no shadow at all, regardless of direction, like,
Yeah, especially also, since with the feet, with him being right outside the door,
yeah.
It would be an even steeper angle on the shadow. So it would be like casting it basically to the edge of the door.
Or it would be like the shadow would be coming through the gap. It would be going into the shadows of the stall with Nair. So, yeah. Also, I really like how Nair attempts to rationalize every strange encounter or every strange instance. Like it helps keep this grounded sense of level-headedness that Nair has throughout the story, and like continues it on from like when he was a kid. Like he was able to rationalize all the weird shit he'd experienced when he was a kid, like with the house and the window and all that kind of stuff. By doing this, it makes the stranger occurrences stand out when the explanation falls flat. Like, no, this rationalization doesn't work. Like, I tried rationalizing this, and then I was just given like straight up proof like of like something really weird and supernatural that I can't explain, and it just like I can't explain this. But I'll move on to the next thing I have here. I was almost thankful I was squatting with my pants down, since I emptied my bowel simultaneously with my lungs, emptying a scream through the other door, through the other end. So Nair didn't need to bring the brown pants tonight. But I'll move on to the next thing. I realized I didn't have much of a choice but to escape this stall. This flimsy door would provide no protection for me, and there was certainly nothing left of my dignity. If I was to die, I decided it wouldn't be in this literal shithole. I mean, honestly, I'm not 100% sure on the customs with dealing with ghosts in Vietnam, but if this is a malevolent spirit or the like, I've heard in some places in Asia, it's said that screaming and shouting out profanities and appearing brazen and angry when in the presence of the supernatural is actually like really is a way to like kind of like protect yourself from them or like to keep them at bay. So I guess it's like the same equivalent of like, isn't it the same way of like you deal with a bear?
Kind of.
Now that I think about it,
I'm not any sort of aficionado on bear protection, but yeah, I think so.
Yeah, when you're a bear, when you're present with a bear, you want to appear as big and like angry as possible, so that like they basically intimidation factor. And yeah. I've seen a lot of like Asian like ghost hunters. I think primarily in Japan or China. It might be in like other parts of Asia. Where they're exploring like haunted locations like office buildings or houses and stuff like that. And when they start seeing like weird shit or like they start hearing weird shit, they will just start like shouting out profanities at the ghosts. And like that's apparently like a custom.
Yeah.
If like anybody out there who wants to like chime in about that, like I'd be very curious because like is that a thing that's that like you're supposed to do when you're faced with like ghosts or hauntings in Asia. But yeah, so like, yeah, so his reaction here is like, it seems to fit the locale.
Although he wasn't doing that for that reason, he was doing it because he was terrified.
I mean, yeah, but he was inadvertently doing the thing that you're sometimes supposed to do.
Yeah.
But I'll move on to the next thing I have. Actually, this is the last thing I have. He explained that in Vietnam, lonely ghosts often haunt sites where travelers can be found. Those who see their face are doomed to a grisly, gruesome death in the near future. It's been almost 2 months since that fateful encounter. To this day, I still don't know if I really saw its face. It's a blur that still haunts me, and I'm not sure I want to know. So Nair was pretty well spared, but potentially spared a gruesome grisly death by his crippling case of really short-term memory.
Oh yeah, maybe.
it's like I mean maybe I saw it. I mean, I don't know, like it's like suddenly like because he had the memory of a goldfish in this one instance.
Mm-hmm.
It spared him.
Or he literally didn't see it, because
yeah,
visually when I saw the teleportation stuff happen, like the feet were there, he rushed out, and then when he looked behind him, it was in the toilet, but it was still like facing the toilet.
Oh my god, I just realized this old ghost can't open doors.
Oh, he just really had to go to the bathroom.
That's the only reason he, yeah, like that. I just, yeah, like that's, this is actually like Nair's getting terrified of this ghost for no reason. This is completely like a, like the ghost was not malevolent or like terrifying at all. He just needed to do his own spectral business, but he can't open doors. Or maybe he died in one of those booths, like, and is now like a ghost that's like that's trapped to like just wait outside the booths until a door opens to let him in.
Yeah.
God, you died on the shitter? That sucks. Also, I'm guessing because like he probably just really had to pee, because that's how he'd be like, that's why he would be like, like he'd be facing the toilet rather than facing outward from the toilet.
Yes.
Yeah. But yeah, I just realized that it's like, wow, no, like this is all like a misunderstanding. The ghost actually probably like quietly, like as Nair's running away, just like, thank you. Thank you. I really had to go.
Wow.
I've been waiting an eternity. Yeah, sorry. Yeah. Yeah, I just realized that. Yeah, it's like, wow. Yeah. But also, like, I just really do like this like little like creepy ghost story that the tour guide gives Nair at the end. Cause it's just such a fun, but it's just a fun like local ghost story that like you'd expect to hear in like a rural place.
Yeah, it seems on brand.
Yeah,
for sure.
But yeah, that's my actual thoughts. So, Mikey, he stands for evil.
All right, let's see here. So, I sort of like that he mundanifies the stuff at the beginning.
Picking her gerbs.
And after her own heart.
Well, and I'm happy that it brings up sleep paralysis so we don't have to.
Yeah, right? aren't you going to fight it, though, and say, aliens?
Well, it is in Vietnam. They got aliens over there, right?
They got aliens are pretty sure a global phenomena.
Yeah, probably. I don't think they're just targeting the North American.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure beings from another planet from outer space are a planetary thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I like that we get sort of a ghostly figure at the end at a campsite. There is the problem that there's not enough detail. As we've established, like we don't find out that he has campmates until pretty much after all the stuff has happened.
Yeah, when the story's over.
Yeah, then we find it's like, oh yeah, by the way, I was like, I feel like really it's an instance of just like the author when they were writing it just forgot to add, like they had meant to add it, yeah. Like add like something at the beginning that like they were out vacationing in Vietnam with their friends or something like that. It's and they just forgot to
be a bunch of randos.
It could also be that, but it feels like they just forgot to add in like a couple of like words to like say that like they were camping and or hiking in the Vietnam with friends or with campmates.
Yeah.
Or with a tour guide or with a tour group even.
Yeah. That's exactly what it felt like knowing the context at the end of the story.
Yeah. Also, I just need to cut you off for a second there, Mikey, because something you said, it's like how you liked the, how this character is just like, there's like this like campfire, like ghost story kind of like this ghost in this, at this campfire thing. It's like, and it just immediately brought to mind Captain Barbossa from Pirates of the Caribbean. It's like, you best start believing in campfire ghost stories. You're in one. Cause yeah, like the narrator has been like walked into a campfire ghost story basically.
Yeah.
And then for me, it would be nice to have more detail about the campsite.
Yeah.
And the fact that they're like bring up that there is a toilet before he goes to bed.
Yeah. Well, like, and we do get a pretty decent description of how the toilet stalls, like what the toilet stall situation is for this campground. Like I actually really appreciate that, but yeah, saying that it's like the jungles of Vietnam, like that invokes an image in my head, but like I'd like a little bit more detail about the setup or about the location. Yeah.
And then I looked up at one point basically if you can camp in Vietnam for free, and the answer is no, you have to go to a campsite. So to me that's like, okay, so that confirms that he's at a campsite in Vietnam.
He's at a designated campsite, which makes sense, like again, like with the bathroom stalls being there and such.
Exactly. But the thing is that when we initially get the whole, like, that he's camping, I don't think he mentions camp until after. Oh, no.
I think they're just they're staying the night over at a camping. Otherwise, they're just hiking down like trails in Vietnam. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's my only real gripe was with that. But it's a non-issue because we get it all sorted itself out in my head after figuring it all out. So that's my actual thoughts.
Okay. Gamer.
Okay. Let's see what I got. That's the way it's always been for me. Some of my earliest memories are of secretly listening to my dad swapping ghost stories with his buddies while I sat wrapped in the room next door. So for me, I've always heard like enraptured, but and I do like the sound of enraptured more compared to rapt, because it's like if you're enraptured enough about something, you'd bother putting in a couple more syllables to like say it, you know?
Yeah. Oh, I have also heard like enrapt attention. I have heard that one before.
Yeah. Like this isn't technically a grammar thing at all because I don't mind it either way. I just haven't heard the short form wrapped being used before.
Okay.
Except for like rapping on a door, which is like a sound effect.
Yeah.
Of like knocking on it, basically.
A rap, tap, tapping. Yeah.
Yeah. And also Wolfram, yeah.
Sorry. Yeah, rap, tap, tap.
There you go. That's better. And then my next note here is basically, there's like a hell of a lot of setup before the story even starts properly in this. Mm-hmm. And normally I wouldn't really mind because like it gives us time to get to know the characters and stuff like that. But in this one, it just kind of feels like it drags on a bit. Like if there was one more mention of him saying like another creepy thing that happened that he mundanified, I'd be like, okay, look.
Yeah.
Because like it's just repeating the same part of the intro, because it's basically, I want to believe, and then the spooky thing happened, but I want to believe, and then another spooky thing happened. I do want to believe, though. Like, that's basically what the intro is.
Yeah, the spooky yet rationalizing thing happened, but I want to believe. Yeah. Yeah, like, I think we had, it was like, I'm glad he stopped when he did.
Yeah.
Because even I was like, okay, we're getting a lot of, like, how you were like a lot of examples of like your thesis statement here, but like, what's the actual problem? Like, why are you actually, what's the event that you're actually like posting on Reddit right now for?
Yes. And to that, you could theoretically start the story with the part where it's like, I had decided to take a break and spend a few weeks backpacking in Vietnam. That's technically the start of the story.
Yeah, technically the start of the, yeah, no, you're right.
Like, I don't want to say everything else is fluff, because it is interesting, and it gives you insight into the character, and that he has experienced creepy stuff, but...
And that he has been able to rationalize it. Well, and that he has been able to rationalize it. And the reason he's posting this story, like the story about Vietnam and some of that, is because this one has stumped him.
Yes.
Like, that stuff isn't fluff. It does give you context as to, like, the person that we are reading about.
It does, for sure. It's just it's toeing the line. It's like, yeah, really close to being too much.
Yeah.
And then my last note is basically just after the story's over, thinking back to the title, with the title as it is, I kind of assumed that this story would be a curiosity killed the cat kind of deal, which is what 3/4 of the creepypastas we read are, honestly.
Yeah,
but oddly enough, this one isn't. Like, Nair didn't explore somewhere he shouldn't, or open up some creepy book he shouldn't. This just happened because.
So I think I understand why the author chose this as the title, because at the very end, like, he could have gone that entire like after encountering the ghost, the old man at the shitter. He could have just gone home and like been completely ignorant of what the hell he had experienced, and that would have been fine. But he wanted to know from the tour guide if there was something about to do with that. And then he found out the horrible truth that, like, oh, like, shit, like, if you've seen, did you see his face? If you do, you're gonna die. It's like, I think that's where the terrible curiosity comes from, is that he was too curious that he wanted to know if there's any more about what he just experienced.
Yeah, but that didn't affect him negatively, really, aside from slight paranoia for a minute until his goldfish brain's like, no, I didn't remember.
Well, again, he doesn't know. Like, that's just it, though. Like, he doesn't know if he saw the face or not, because apparently he has a goldfish brain, or like he just had like really selective short-term memory. But maybe he did see it like subconsciously or something like that. So like now he's just worried. Like now he's got some psychological he's suffering from some like you said, paranoia from that. Like it wasn't like he wasn't in physical harm, but he's now like in duress that he might die because he may have seen this person this ghost's face.
Well, I'll say this in the stories that follow.
Yeah.
If he is paranoid that he might be dying at some point soon, then yes, 100%. Yeah. I'm fine with that. But if this isn't referenced again, his like worry that he might just die gruesomely for some reason because of this event that happened in the past, then nah.
Yeah, I suppose like an alternative name that would have been better was my Vietnam trip.
No, this is a Reddit no sleep story.
Oh yeah, sorry. Hang on. Where's that sentence that you said this starts from?
I had decided to take a break and spent a few weeks backpacking Vietnam, starting with.
Well, that's it right there. Yeah, no, like that sentence right there. I had decided to take a break and spent a few weeks backpacking in Vietnam. Period. Yes. That's it. That's the title.
It has to be a stupidly long title for it to be a Reddit no sleep story.
Yeah, exactly.
Joking aside, it does not have to. For those that are unaware, that we just make fun of the long ass titles all the time.
Yeah, you could also have as like my backpacking trip in Vietnam. That could also be a story. Yeah, like I do kind of get the title as it is, but like I also get what you're coming from. It's like it works and it doesn't.
Yeah. Like,
it works. It's maybe a little too subtle.
It's specifically referencing his like worry at the end.
Well, yeah, his worry at the end, but I think also like the fact that like he's always had a curious mind and like he wants to know, he wants to like that's what's gotten the better of him is his curious mind. But yeah.
But it's not like a spooky thing happened and he went back to try to recreate it and then a worse thing happened, you know?
No, he experienced the spooky thing and then held off to like the last minute of the trip and then finally asked the tour guide about the thing and then wished he hadn't. Basically ignorance. He wished he had been ignorant of it.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
But that's the end of Minutes.
All right. Then I suppose we'll move on to final thoughts. So there are a number of spelling and grammar issues to be sure, but overall it's a short, sweet and pretty grounded ghost story. There's a charm to it with that. And the Vietnam backdrop, while not fully fleshed out, like we get bits and pieces of like that help us like paint a picture of the locale and like the situation that he's in and stuff of that night. I could use some more about the Vietnam backdrop setting, but otherwise, like it is a cool backdrop. So that's one of the reasons I'm going to recommend this is like it. It was a short, sweet, and pretty grounded ghost story, and I just think that's really cool. I thought it was really cool. Mikey, these stands for evil.
I like that it sets up a character that wants a spooky thing to happen, but we get examples of spooky things not happening and mundanified, and we're like, okay, yeah, that's how life goes most of the time.
Yeah.
And then we end up him going on a trip and then seeing the spooky thing and that sort of makes you, well, how do you explain that? And you can't explain it other than ghost. And the fact that the locals knew of the quote unquote monster, and it's just like, as long as you didn't see its face, you're good, type thing. So I was like, okay. So that makes the story interesting, and so I will still give this a recommendation.
Okay. And gamer.
Yeah, the read was pretty fun. I liked the creepiness of the ghost. He's not described super well, like in regards to like if he was facing him when he was in the toilet or not. Because if he was facing him, then there would be even more concern. Like, did I actually see his face? I can't tell. The intro is on the edge of being long-winded, but I still appreciate it for what it is, because hell, I complain when stories just jump in like media res and you have to learn this shit on your own. So I would be a hypocrite if I said I didn't appreciate a little bit of backstory and learning about the character beforehand. So all in all, I did like that. Grammar, whatever. There's always grammar issues. Nothing is who is phone. But yeah, it was creepy to the point. The title is like I said before, I'm hemming and hawing whether the title is truly accurate for this, but it works enough, I suppose, with your explanation of him being curious is him asking the tour guide, and him being cursed by that is him worrying if he's going to be literally cursed to die soon.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
If that apparent curse shows up in some of the following stories, I would appreciate that. If it doesn't, then so be it. But overall, I will still recommend this because I enjoyed it. It was actually creepy, which is what some creepypastas just don't do.
Unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I guess full recommendations today.
Mm-hmm.
And like, this was a pretty decent one. And well, let's see next week when we do was it Gurgles and or, yeah, was it Yeah, Gurgles and Bugman. I'm looking at some of the other stories actually right now, like at the bottom of this page on Reddit No Sleep. And so, like, number part two is Gurgles and Bugman. Part three is Reality is Creepier Than Fiction. Four is Pranks. Five is Notes. Oh, this goes up. Oh, wow. We have 11 stories. Okay.
How much of a rabbit hole have we made here?
Well, yeah, it looks like we got like another In Torment series or like, Wicker Saga.
Holy crap.
This is like 11, there's like 11 stories here that we are going to be probably we'll be covering over, like, we'll maybe not do all of them at once, but we'll like cover we'll get to them throughout. But like, yeah, for next up is going to be Gurgles and Bugman, and then we'll see where everything else falls.
Yes.
Wow. Also, I really like the last story. Story 11's title, No Sleep for the Innocent. I was like, God damn, that is a movie. That's like a movie title.
Yeah, it really is.
Like Reddit, No Sleep for the Innocent. Mm-hmm. That has been this week's episode. So if you like what you heard, or if you didn't, leave us a comment in the comment section below where this gets posted. We're all on Twitter. Mikey is at the East Ends for Evil. The Gamer Nail is at the Gamer Nail, but without that W at the end, because his name is too damn long.
Yeah, I don't have a choice.
And I'm at Review Cultist. I'm also on Blue Sky as Review Cultist, so you can check me out there. You can also send us emails at aldenterigamortis@gmail.com. That's aldenterigamortis@gmail.com. Where you can also leave us suggestions for other creepypastas, SCPs, spooky things. You creep it, we'll peep it. Yeah! And if you'd like to help support our show financially, you can go to Patreon. We have $2 and $5 tiers with special episodes, early access, extra content. To all our patrons that are helping support the show, thank you immensely. You're helping keep those hosting bills at bay. And as always, we very much appreciate that. And to our listeners and the authors of these stories, thank you immensely. Because without your listenership, it'd be like screaming into the void. And without your authorship, the stories that you post, you know, that you write and post online, we really wouldn't have much of a show because we'd have nothing to talk about. So thank you. Until next time, I have been your host, Review Cultist.
I'm Mikey, the East End for Evil.
And I'm the Gamer in Yellow.
And this has been Aldente Rigamortis. Sleep well.